Hi, my name is Allison Mead, and welcome to What She Said, an episode of the LA FPI's podcast series. The Los Angeles Female Playwrights Initiative is dedicated to encouraging and promoting the work of female playwrights, and today I'm going to be speaking with Cyan McLarion, whose play I Died, I Came Back, Whatever, is currently playing at the Complex Theater as part of the Hollywood Fringe Festival. And Cyan has been acting since the age of six, when she appeared in A Midsummer Night's Dream, and is an award-winning Shakespearean actress, having appeared on stage, on television, and in film. And she's also done stand-up comedy before developing her new show, I Died, I Came Back, Whatever, for the Fringe Festival. So welcome, Cyan.
Hi.
When I was reading your play, I realized that sometimes you get a really good idea for a play from your imagination, and sometimes from the events around you. But your show pretty much comes from your personal experience. So I wanted to begin by talking about how I Died, I Came Back, Whatever began as an idea, and then how you developed it from there.
Okay. Yeah, it was actually pretty fascinating. I journal, you know, regularly just to get things out when I'm, like, all clogged up and whatnot. And I was not very spiritual or connected or anything, so the things that were coming out really didn't make a lot of sense. I was like, wait, that couldn't have really happened, and I was in denial, I guess you could say, because I was born with a heart condition, and I've had a few surgeries, two of them in which I actually did die. The first one I don't remember because I was three. But the last one, I was as I was turning 30, and I was, you know, angry and just exhausted and was like, okay, whatever, because, you know, I had to have a third of my heart transplanted, or I you know, they said it would, quote, wither away and die. That's what the cardiologist said. He was very pleasant.
Okay.
So, yeah, so, you know, it's like I gave in and had it, but I wasn't, you know, thinking, oh, hey, we're going to the afterlife or anything, and I wasn't really very connected with, you know, the possibilities, because I was in my own world and whatnot. And so as I started journaling and I'm writing things down, and I'm like, wait a minute, how do I know that? And then I would, you know, it's like, for example, I would have memories of my grandmothers and things that I never met my dad's mom, except for when I was about two or three, maybe. She lived in Mexico, and I'd have a conversation. I'd say, hey, Dad, you know, she liked to dance a lot, didn't she? She was, you know, kind of wacky. And he's like, yeah, how do you know that? I'm like, well, her hair was kind of reddish, too, wasn't it? Like, do we have color pictures of her when she was younger? And I'm like, that's really weird. So I was still in, you know, denial for a little while, and just it just gradually became, you know, something that I was like, okay, well, yeah, I mean, my heart was always something that stopped me from doing something, you know? So I would be acting, and then suddenly I'd be sick and in the hospital, so I wasn't exactly thinking of it as something I wanted to talk about. You know, you didn't really think, oh, yeah, let me be known as the heart patient, so to speak.
Right.
But, you know, it just, a friend of mine, two friends of mine, one friend did a one-woman show years ago, and I sat there and watched as it looked so incredible. And I was like, that could be fun, because I did stand up, and, you know, I'm like, well, what the heck would I say? Never mind, that's a lot of words to say. And I put it out of my head. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, then another friend said, if you had one story to tell, what would it be? And I realized the actual thing that's always stopped me from doing anything was, you know, the thing that I actually needed to tell the story of, ironic.
Wow, what a great, you know, little tiny teaching in that statement. Wow.
Yeah, actually, you know, to do the thing that's hardest as opposed to do what's easy. And
yeah.
I mean, now I'm at the fringe and things, you know, it's just been an incredible ride so far, and I'm just starting out.
Exactly. I mean, it ends up being a really long month, so pace yourself. But I wanted to talk about the next stage, which is not to give everything away because there's so many layers to the show, but one hilarious thing that happens during the show is that Sir Laurence Olivier makes an appearance. And I wondered if this was the sort of fevered nature of your mind during surgery, or do you think that's something deeper, you know, maybe a message from the other plane, so to speak?
I'm not sure. I mean, my mind is a little twisted. I live in Hollywood, but I don't know. I've always loved Shakespeare, and so, you know, as I was writing and different things, things would come out in iambic pentameter, or they'd come out in phraseology that he said, and I was like, huh, well, huh. And I don't know. Maybe I saw him up there. I mean, I don't remember that, but I mean, it's like as things would come out, and I mean, he's so witty as it is. So I mean, it's like to have me up there. It's basically, you know, me up there having a wait. This can't possibly be happening. And then he's like, "Well, hello. I'm going to escort you through heaven's waiting room." So, you know. Excuse me, wait, who, what?
And so what kind of wisdom was he able to impart to you that you bring into the show?
Well, old world stage, as they say.
Yes.
And, yeah, I mean, well, we have a lot in common, and I had no idea. My father, for example, was almost a Catholic priest, and then he became a therapist, so guys were sort of walking away now. So he was very spiritual and everything came from that point. And Laurence Olivier, for example, his father was in the clergy. And so, you know, So anything that he would want to do, his father would look down and go, "Now, Larry, hello, no. Not going to happen, no." And so we would, you know, have this in common, and he shares different things through the story that we have in common. He talks about, well, I'm not going to give that away, but he talks about all sorts of things that we have in common and lessons that, you know, that I can take just from his life, and many of us actually can. You know, I mean, he was very fortunate to break into the business early. His father actually came up with the idea, so to speak, for him to be an actor, which, yeah, I mean, we don't have that in common. My father didn't do that, but, no, but, you know.
In your heart of hearts, is he the person you would have preferred to have met in Heaven's Waiting Room?
I did meet my grandmothers, and I would never not want to meet my grandmothers because that was amazing. If I could have met Larry also, that would have been beyond exciting. I mean, I wouldn't have been alive, and it would have been the most exciting thing in my life. So, you know, but, yeah, so creative liberties a little bit, I guess you could say. But, you know, who doesn't want to be escorted anywhere by Heathcliff or
exactly, and he's got that
Hamlet.
Very unique accent. I mean, it's sort of like almost clipped, and it's a little bit mid-Atlantic.
It's a little on the feminine side, even. You know, it's like as he got older, his voice got a little deeper, but it was very, very proper, very proper.
I always think of him in Marathon Man for some reason, and he's so terrifying in that.
Yeah, Dustin Hoffman. Yes, he's younger in my play, but yes, I love that movie.
Yeah, you're also a pagan, if I'm correct, and
I was, yes.
Okay, I wondered how this experience kind of shifted the way you look at life and death and spirituality.
Well, that's part of my denial process. When you're, you know, when you're angry, I mean, I'd had so much happen with my life in regards to my heart, you know, stopping me from doing everything that I had viewed myself as being created broken. So, you know, it's like, why are you going to make me this way? And now what am I supposed to do with this? So I wanted to live life to the fullest. I wanted to go balls to the wall, so to speak, and just have fun. And when I was younger, it didn't occur to me to have a problem with, you know, God and spirituality. But as I got older, I had a surgery when I was 15 that my, you know, same charming cardiologist that, you know, I referenced, who said, you know, your heart will wither away and you'll die. Very, you know, pleasant. Yeah, I mean,
that's how you say it. My God.
Exactly. I'm like, oh, thanks. I'll keep that in mind. So, I had a procedure. It wasn't even supposed to be a surgery when I was 15, and it was only supposed to be a 45-minute procedure. And I mean, it was a horror. He turned it into this like freak show that lasted for 4 hours plus, which is just ridiculous. God. And yeah, I mean, I was even awake for it. For a good chunk of it, with, you know, so when things like that, I felt like I was deserted. I wasn't, you know, God obviously wasn't very concerned with me. It's like, she's broken. She's good enough. But so I turned as far away as possible and just wanted to live my life. And, you know, life's the stage, world's the stage. Let's have fun. Let's act. And I went that way. So when I woke up in this place, and I started having memories of this incredible, you know, place where, I mean, for the first time, I wasn't in pain. I'm used to being in pain. You know, it's like, it's different than normal people and chest pain and breathing. I certainly don't ride a bike or run or anything like that. So I'm blessed with good metabolism, thank goodness. But, but, you know, when you look at that stuff, it doesn't really seem real because I didn't believe in it. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't deemed to even go there, which is actually another thing Larry and I have in common, because he turned away from God, renounced all religion for many years. Maybe it goes with, you know, you have a father who's a super spiritual and in the clergy, and it just becomes too much, and you gotta just have your own mind, I guess.
Right. Where did you end up with your beliefs?
Well, now I believe in God. He's very present in my life. I mean, I'm definitely not Catholic by any means, like my father, but I, you know, I see life as a huge gift, and I mean, I'm alive, and I mean, I shouldn't have been. Technically, I shouldn't have lived past 5. So,
wow.
I mean, I'm 43. And,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, hand to God.
So I'm here for a reason. We haven't totally figured out what it is, but maybe I'm supposed to tell this story. So
it feels like that's certainly one of the things. Okay, good. Well, then it sounds like you're healthy, too, which is also good.
Yes. Yes.
Well,
do a lot of walking.
Yay! Why did the Fringe Festival seem like the best place to launch this solo show for you?
Well, I was working with my now director, Jessica Lynn Johnson, who I met. The spiritual connection kind of took me that way. So I guess you could say God kind of guided me in a way. I wasn't really keen to say he was doing it at the time, but, you know. My father had a heart attack. He's better now. But when he had a heart attack, my then boyfriend, actually, he hadn't even proposed yet, and I were liking our lazy Sundays. We weren't going to church or anything like that. And when the man who has a heart attack asks you to find a church, you really don't argue.
Right. No,
So we were just thinking, you know, how many prayer circles could we get him on until he had his surgeries, then we'd go back to our lazy Sunday. And we ended up, I reached out to a friend of mine who'd taken me to this church years ago that I thought was a lot of fun. I didn't feel like they were preaching at me, you know, and there were a lot of artists there, and it was just great music and different things. And so I asked her where it was. It wasn't something I wanted to go to weekly at the time. And turns out it was down the street from where I was living. Oh, that's convenient. So, yeah, so we went there, and we felt welcome. Somebody came out after the service and said, "Are you artists? You look like artists. We're having networking next door with food." We're like, "This is church? Okay." Yeah. And then one of the people in the group was somebody that my husband knew from Portland who was in acting class with his mom, who's a costumer, which is crazy coincidence. And then I went and looked on social media and said, "I wonder if I have anybody in common." And a girl who I did a showcase tour with across, you know, California, Northern, Southern, and off Broadway was actually involved. So I reached out. I'm like, "Are you with this church?" And she's like, "Am I?" And she was actually directing the Christmas play at the time. It was November. They were doing Scrooge, so not, you know, your nativity traditional type of thing. And I'm like, "Huh." So within a week and a half, I was helping out with props, which, you know, I was like, "Well, that's entertaining." And one of the girls in the show is the girl who I now, who's Jessica Lynn Johnson, who's turned into my coach and now director. And my friend, it was very fascinating because my friend who was directing, she did this thing. She prayed at the beginning of every rehearsal, and then she did the same thing at the beginning of every show. And I've been involved in plays all my life, so it didn't, you know, it's like, I'm going, "What is she doing?" And she literally, it's like in the prayer, she said, you know, "Please God, help guide us to serve you with our talent." And I'm like, "Okay, it can't honestly be that easy. Really?" I was in denial. I'm like, "Yeah, right, whatever." And the crazy stuff happens, like, you know, it happened there, you know, all this, you know, like chaos and technical stuff. But the difference that between that and other shows that I'd been in is that, you know, you have chaos that ensues, but people get angry, people lash out at each other, people are like, "Oh my gosh, is this going to work?" Everybody here just knew it would be okay. Mm. So it was like these things are happening and everything was okay, which was fascinating. And then, you know, I started working with Jessica Lynn Johnson and, you know, going, "I don't know, do I have a story? I'm not really sure." And then I went on, you know, this retreat with the church and started journaling. And a friend of mine said, "What story do you want to tell if there was one story you could tell throughout your whole life?" And I'm like, "I don't know." And I started writing. I'm like, "Dude, that's crazy." And, you know, more things that I did not think really could possibly have happened, but I don't know how I would have known. And then I'm talking with Jessica, and she's like, "Well, let's explore this. Let's break this down." And so we started doing that, and I did a showcase of sorts, like 8-minute clip of my show back in November with her. She teaches a solo class, a class for solo artists. It's actually free. Oh. Yeah, so people can try it out and see if it's something that they want to do. And so then, you know, you can do the private coaching and whatnot if you want to go further. But she had this showcase, and it was an 8-minute segment that I had that turned into 15 because of laughter. And I had, which is a good problem to have.
Yeah.
And then I had people that I had no idea who they were coming up to me afterwards and going, "Oh my gosh, is that true?" And, "Oh my gosh, that was," and the comments and everything, they're like, "You have to do this as a show and let us know because we want to come." And I'm like, "I guess I'm making this a full show. Wow." And as we were talking, I'm like online and going, "Oh, the Fringe Festival is coming up. I wonder if I don't know, would I be accepted to do a festival? I'm not even a show yet. And so I entered my premise, and, you know, it's like, it just kind of took over from there. So then I just had my preview, and it was sold out. We even had people who didn't want to leave, who weren't on the list, who sat on the floor. And I'm like, wow. Yeah, we've got one seat left for opening on the 12th, and then, you know, it's the things are, we've got three other shows that are still have seats, but it's like, it's been taking this mind of its own, and it's like, wow, this is, okay, I get it. Okay, something's going on here.
Well, lots and lots of love to you. Break a leg, and thanks for talking to
Thank
me.
Thank you.
I Died, I Came Back, Whatever plays at the Complex Theater through June 27th with performances on June 12th. We get that one last seat that's left, the 19th, the 21st, and the 27th. It's directed by Jessica Lynn Johnson and features Cyan McLaren. For more information about tickets, go to idiedwhatever.me or www.hff15.org/2123 and click on the Tickets tab. For more information about LAFPI's resources, activities, and opportunities, please visit www.lafpi.com.